This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's just
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, and
1-800.
Yeah.
1-800-919-37. Mute it. 3776. Let me say that one more time for your mind.
I want you jacked up on Mountain Dew right now. Come on.
1-800-919-3776 as I drink some of my caramel frappe mocha latte.
Can't wait.
What I want you to do is say it like the Cars for Kids song.
1-800-919-3776.
Get it stuck in people's heads.
1-800-919-3776. I'm Rick James. Oops, I get it off the air.
Careful now.
But listen, if you can't get us there, man, oh man, we will read your tweets if you hit us at Barton Hine on the Twitter.
We do that. Yes, we do.
If you DM Allen.
No, stop. Just tell
him. And then send him a profile picture so he can know what you look like.
Don't do that either.
You know, we should have an email Alan your neighbor. We should have an email Alan your neighbor and have a neighbor contest. And we should be able to look at their neighbors and see if they're cute or not based on their neighbors.
Based on your neighbor.
Man, listen. Right now.
Like a psychological exactly. profile based on your navel.
Right, because you know like how Ray Charles used to grab your wrists and see if he was cute or not based on your wrists. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at your navel and say, is this person attractive? Listen, and we're equal opportunists, men and women.
Excuse me?
Men and women.
Right, you can DM Bart that.
Phrasing?
You can do that at Bart and Hine. And if not, you can catch us at Kristen Mingles.
Nope. Snap face, instant chat, or whatever it is.
That too. Yes, I'll switch it up, seeing if Anthony was paying attention. Or you can hit us at Kristen Mingles.
Yeah.
Or you can catch us at Atheist.
Where's this going?
Let's go to Death Star.
Where's this going? You know what today is? Because it's no Thursday football. Right? Mm. We had baseball last night, and
You cooked dinner the first 4 days. You cooked dinner. You was cooking. You was cooking. You've been cooking all week. So what we got today then?
Today, it's a buffet.
Ah. So you've been cooking all week, Phoenix. All this
it's a buffet! Man.
Yes. So it can be Taco Tuesdays on Thursday. It can be.
Had to get the bell.
It could be Mexican food. It could be Chinese food. It could be good old American classics all on one plate. That's what you're telling me? We can
That's
anything
the best
we
part
want.
Of a buffet.
We can talk about everything like, we want.
You can split the whole thing up.
Get
a nice Chinette plate so it doesn't spill over.
Because I think Lomachenko fighting this week, too. That would be a buffet. That would be over in the category
Conor
that we don't
McGregor
really talk about.
Getting back in the game.
Clean shave. I hope he gets knocked out.
Yeah, I don't like this.
And your
whiskey's almost like
suck.
LeBron. Like, I've got fatigue. Do we have fatigue with certain stars now in sports?
Yeah, because he's trying
like
too
we've
hard.
Seen, like, it's an oversaturation now. If ESPN sends me one more alert about LeBron versus Jordan, here's the breakdown. I'm good. I'm all set. Thanks. No one, please stop. Everyone stop writing about it.
So y'all heard that, right? So if y'all write another thing and send it to Allen, he going to block ESPN. He going to block y'all.
I love Brian Windhorst. I really do. I've known him forever. Please, Brian, Wendy, do not write another one about it. Kevin Pelton, stop writing about it. Nobody is talking about it anymore.
Well, Windhorst has to fill the time into free agency because right now it's nothing to talk about. So
there's a month to the draft, baby.
So he got to fill it up before a couple weeks. You know what I'm saying?
It's all good. No, there's plenty more to talk about. So last night, man, so the Astros held off the Rays. That series now 3-1. So they didn't get swept. Glasnow, by the way, how about him giving up runs again in the postseason? So But still, that's going on. The Dodgers, what a first inning that was last night. They blow out the Braves 15-3. So that series now, instead of going 3-0, is 2-1. Kershaw going tonight.
Ooh,
so an eye certainly on that. That's a big spot for Kershaw. Like, he's got to step the hell up.
Because he has had the yips. You talk about the Chapman face. The Kershaw face.
Yeah, he has those, right?
The Kershaw face. He's the greatest regular season pitcher, arguably. Mm. I mean, I think you can put who's my guy from the Nationals that the Tigers had and let him go.
Scherzer. Maybe Max Scherzer.
Yeah. Scherzer. So outside of Scherzer, I mean, before that it was Kershaw. Get to the postseason. Chokesaw.
Wow.
We got to get a new nickname for Chapman.
That's funny.
Chapman.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to Yankees because Brian Cashman said something. By the way, Yankees fans. That when he said it, it sort of was, he took a stand. Let's put it that way. Brian Cashman yesterday in his address with the media took a very aggressive stand. And you know he's got the support of ownership. He's not going anywhere. Neither is Boone. But I want to say this before we get, I want to talk Giants here for a minute. But Bart, just quickly, 800-919-3776. Oh my God, the phone lines are already lit up. We're going to get to them right away because we're going buffet today.
Yes.
But just the idea that the Rays are up 3-0. And now it's obviously 3-1, but really one win away from going to the World Series. There's a part of me that was like, do you feel like, does it make you feel better because the Rays are just that good? They're going to go to the World Series. So you lost to a team that's going to the World Series. And the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, no, losers lament. No, all that tells me is I was right. The ALDS, Yankees Rays, was the hump series. Win that series, get to the World Series. And the Yankees had a chance, and they blew it. And that's why that game 2, I will never let go of game 2, Davy Garcia, J.A. Happ. I'll never let go of that. That was your chance. You were not playing with house money.
Yep.
So that frustrates me to no end because you see what the Rays are doing, and you could say, well, they're just really good. Hell with that. You were good enough too because the Astros, you were going to mow them over. Didn't matter who the Astros played in the ALCS. Didn't matter.
Yep.
They were going to get beat. They were getting got. You could see they have doubt in their eyes. They have doubt in their eyes. Jose Altuve has doubt in his eyes. You could see it.
He's like, put the buzzer back on. It's like when Latimer got clean and he got off the steroids. Then the dude ran him over on the goal line. No, give me the bag. Altuve is like, buzz me, baby. Put it on my nipples. I want the pain if I don't get the right
thing.
He's looking at pitches and he looks back to the dugout like, anyone? Anyone know what that is? I have no idea what's coming.
They got the from the third base coach, they got the string with the cup like you do when you talk to your friend from Cap. I think see a slider. I think slider. Like, hold up, man. Listen, if you don't put that damn Doyle cup up, third base coach, get it out of here.
Oh, man. Like, but you know what? When you keep your cell phone in your pocket long enough that you feel it buzz.
It feels like a buzz, but it really ain't doing
it. Not even in your damn pocket. Like, you feel your hip buzz. Does anybody out there feel that?
Yes.
Do you ever have that sensation? You have, like, this little buzz on your hip, and you reach into your pocket like Pavlov's dog, and then you go, wait, there's no phone in there. Why am I getting a buzzing on my hip?
That's why I put my phone in my book
Altuve
bag
probably gets that shoulder thing every now and then. We're all saying, there's no buzzer there.
He'd be sitting there like, yo, man, what's going on? Your pacies are showing, man. Can you get a pacey?
I don't know. All right, topic of the day we wanted to open with, and we'll get to the calls immediately because a lot of people on hold already want to go a little, like I said, buffet with us today. I just want to say this. I'm listening to Jordan Renan on DCR, and he covers the Giants for us at ESPN, and he said something that is funny. I hear this a lot when I talk about the Knicks and every time they try to put a new front office in like they have right now, and you say the same thing. There's no magic wand. You got to have patience. You got to let this thing grow. And then fans' response is patience. We've been waiting long enough, right? Now, the Giants are the last New York team to win a championship. So Giants fans, don't cry to me about how long you've been waiting.
Right.
You can give them another couple of years. Everybody else, Yankee fans too, it's been now a decade for the Yankee fans. So you can start losing your patience now.
The whole generation that's never
seen
it. But
everybody else, every other team in New York, you have to respect Ranger fans because the franchise told you, hey, listen, everybody, we had a little run here. We got to the final. We didn't win it, but we're going to blow this thing up now and try to rebuild it. So Be patient with us, but this is what we're doing, and we promise you, when we get on the other side of this thing, you'll love this team. And the Rangers fans were like, okay, yeah, you made it clear to us. This is what we'll do. And you're happier now because you feel like you're starting to head in the right direction with your team. The Knicks, we've been waiting forever. The Jets, waiting forever. Like, there's a lot of waiting, and their fan base keeps being told every time you change a front office, every time you change a coach, all right, new person in here, give him time to work.
Right.
Here's the question, though, Bart. Now, you got an interesting game with the Giants in Washington this weekend. Very interesting game on many levels. But as we watch the Fightin' Joe Judges, what we've seen outside of the 49ers game...
versus the Riverboat Rons.
Yeah, right. But what we've seen outside that 49ers debacle is a team that has been very competitive.
The quarterbacks.
And very close to actually getting a couple of dubs here. 0-5. But yet, they could have beaten Dallas easily. Like, they had chances. I mean, those two penalties were marginal penalties.
Yep.
But I feel like, do the Giants have a coach? And would you, you can't, if you're getting rid of Gettleman, which all Giants fans want, what GM will come in and say, yeah, let's keep the coach in place? Most GMs want their own guy. So would you sacrifice Joe Judge to get a better GM in here? Or would you say, I'll live with Gettleman, because if you think about his drafts, Saquon, Will Hernandez, Darius Slayton was a, what a grab that was in the fifth round. Daniel Jones, you know, you haven't really seen what Xavier McKinney can become, but there's a lot of excitement about what he can be at Alabama. I mean, he's got the broken foot. You won't see him till late in the year if you see him. And then Andrew Thomas, jury's still out.
Dexter Lawrence.
I mean, again, DeAndre Baker, not great.
These are all guys that were taken high, though.
I know.
High. These are high guys. These are like top 10 picks.
Yes. And most of them are playing, if not hurt. You know, like, but you still... You know, Lorenzo Carter got hurt. Another guy that's been playing a lot for them. But I just feel like which way do you go if you're a Giants fan? Like, if you're looking at the Giants right now, what would you say? Do you feel like, you know, I think I've got a coach here? Because I do. I look at Joe Judge and I feel like this guy, they've got something here. You didn't get Ron Rivera. You didn't get Mike McCarthy, the experienced guys. You didn't get Matt Rhule, who was the hot, you know, college coach coming out. He's in Carolina. And they've just won 3 in a row.
Yep.
But you got a guy that looks like he's got a plan, and in time, you could have the type of team you want. However, that means you got to probably keep the GM in place, because what GM will come in that's worth his salt that will say, yeah, let's keep the coaching staff in place? So which one do you do? Which do you sacrifice, the coach or the GM?
Well, for me, the GM is outdated. He's made some moves, but he was late on the rebuild. He told us that Eli Manning still had juice left. He sold that to us. He doubled down on that with Saquon.
How much was that the owner, though?
And then, but no, okay, well, he doubled down with Saquon. Then he lied to us again. Then he signed Beckham, said he didn't sign him to trade him. Then he traded him. Then the pieces that he got back in Zeitler and Jabril Peppers really haven't panned out. Used one of those draft picks to go get DeAndre Baker. You know, that didn't. So I think So I think what he's done, and he signed Nate Solder, which he had to, but Nate Solder hadn't lived up to expectations. Andrew Thomas, you heard Renan talking about maybe he could be Eric Flowers, which makes everybody cringe, right? Because when Nate Solder goes, you got to try and slide him over to the left. So what I'm saying is, I'm going to say, hey, Joe Judge, I believe that you're a great coach. And I'm going to take – what I'm going to do is I want symmetry, right? Because even though Gettleman brought him in, he wasn't Gettleman's first choice. You know, Gettleman kind of came and got him, you know, after a while, because he knew he had to fire the head coach, which was Pat Shurmur.
Well, they were just dragging their feet with this.
No, but what I'm saying is with Pat Shurmur, right? Because
he told us
Pat Shurmur was the adult in the room, and that was the only qualification for him hiring his first coach. So now he may have hit on his second coach, but his time, his expiration date, like a good old glass of milk, whole milk, is expired. So it's time for him to move on and go on and like go out to pasture to Kentucky, where they send all those old thoroughbred horses. It's time for him to go out to the pasture and enjoy his later days in life. Yeah, go enjoy those days. And I'm going to go to Joe Judge. Like, listen, we believe in you, bro. But I'm gonna ask you one more. You know, I'm gonna ask you to go talk to Bill Belichick. I'm gonna ask you to reach into your tree and get you a general manager, much like Kyle Shanahan did, and get you a general manager in which you want to work with, who shares your vision and your beliefs in how to build a football team. And that can be Scott Pioli. That can be Scott Pioli.
Scott Pioli, from Atlanta?
Yeah, but is he still in Atlanta?
No, I don't think he's going to win it now. I'm saying the last job he had, I believe he was an assistant down in Atlanta, right?
Scott Pioli or John Dorsey. You know, people can say whatever they want about John Dorsey, but what John Dorsey did in getting that Cleveland foundation together, bringing in Odell Beckham, bringing in Jarvis Landry, going to get Olivier Vernon, going to get all those pieces, have done a tremendous job. Now they messed up because they hired he hired the wrong coach. You know, the Freddie Kitchen coach was a disaster.
But who was they hired him for?
Well, they hired Baker Mayfield.
They let Baker Mayfield dominate that, and that was the mistake, and that was the owner. That was above Dorsey. It had to have been.
Right, but we know that the Mares and the Tish like a certain type of football guy. You know what I mean? They have to have a certain caveat. If they didn't come from within the organization, they have to have, you know what I mean, a certain resume and a certain style for them to work with. And Scott Pioli and John Dorsey are those type of people.
Fit that.
Mm-hmm. Right, they fit that model.
And you think they'd be fine with the coach? You think they'd come in and not
They've already worked with him.
They.
They know this guy. They from the Patriots. They know this guy.
Fair point.
Bill's going to give the blessing to Dorsey or Pioli, and he's going to give the endorsement to them about Joe, and they're going to know that he runs the ship just like, you know, he's trying to run his
ship and
trying to
have a philosophy like Belichick
just like Bill Belichick. So that's a marriage made in heaven right there.
So you're saying you can keep Joe Judge, and we believe, like, I know it's only five in, but you can get a feel. You get a feel for a coach.
Listen,
this guy knows what he's doing.
He reminds me of Harbaugh. When Harbaugh first came in, he almost got his ass kicked at least four times, but he kept showing up. He was about to take those L's. He was like, Jared Johnson, Frank Walker say, man, I'll kick your ass in front of the whole team, and was getting up to kick his ass. And Jared Johnson told him, you're going to show some goddamn respect. I'm sorry, I can't say that. Damn respect, okay. Right? Say he's going to show some damn respect because he was trying to get us to do some defenses that the Eagles did. And we stood up politely as the Ravens, who had just finished number one in defense that year, right, and said, why in the hell would we want to do anything that the Philadelphia Eagles done when we've been the defensive standard, us and the Pittsburgh Steelers, for a better part of a decade? If you don't sit your special teams ass down, I'm going to take your dollar, I'm going to take your 10-cent ass and make change. And Rex said, oh, God, guys, don't kill him. Please, believe in him. Rex saved John Harbaugh's ass from getting kicked at least on four different occasions and a team mutiny. And all we did was go to the AFC Championship
that year. A tremendous story, by the way. Yeah. I want to ask Rex. Remind me next week when we have Rex. Yeah. Got to ask Rex about that.
Rex,
that's a tremendous story. Rex. And by the way, Rex, remember when we talked to him, he likes Joe Judge. He likes what he sees from him.
Right.
Because he was very complimentary last week about Joe Judge. And I'm telling all the Giants fans out there, they're all freaking out right now. Trust me, I think you got a coach. I really do. I think you've got a coach. The question, of course, is can you keep this coach and get a new GM? Because the argument is you might not really have the GM. So is it, do you keep the GM because you want the coach? Or do you have to find a GM who will work with the coach? And Bart just gave you two examples of people that are options for the Giants if they do make that choice. There's still a long ways to go before that, of course, because there's still a season to play. But we'll watch this game this weekend. And Rivera, some people think, oh, wow, guy that got away. The Giants really could have got Ron Rivera. Never had a chance to hire him. He jumped all over that Washington job before the Giants had a chance to even talk to him. Others, Mike McCarthy, I think what we're seeing in Dallas tells you, did they really miss much there? Right. Matt Rhule, though, keep an eye on that because it does look like, I know he's got Teddy Bridgewater, he's got some talent down there. But
Teddy Bridgewater's like in the top 10 as far as passing yards. Teddy Bridgewater narrative was that he wouldn't push the ball down the field.
Right.
He's making Robbie Anderson OJ the Juice Man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's who's that, Patty Purr? What's his name, Patty Purr? Like, only Robbie Anderson. Like, Patty Purr? Like, that's his name? Like, man, you sitting there talking about the damn mascot. You got to be super comfortable.
I'm telling you, anybody that knows me and knows that's listened to my show over the last couple of years knows how big of a fan I am of Teddy Bridgewater. I am not surprised by anything that he is doing. All right, 800-919-3776. So on the Giants, we'll get to some Yankees. You'll hear the Yankees audio from Brian Cashman. If you haven't heard it, something he said that really caught my attention, where he basically just dug in on the plan for the Yankees going forward. We'll play some of that coming up next. But, Bart, let's grab a couple of calls here to begin things. We're going full buffet today, as we promised. We will have Damian Woody at noon. But besides that, you are the guest of the show. So, what's up?
No, D Wood should have perspective on Pioli and Dorsey.
Of course,
because Davis is guys.
See,
so
how
he
I
can
set
talk
this up?
About. See, man, God,
I
man,
told you,
boy,
this is how you do
man,
it.
Man, listen. We give John Stockton, we give John Stockton all this credit for all the assists he going, and we give LeBrick his credit for that. Man, don't nobody throw up a better. You throw me assists that I don't even know you're throwing.
I just know you're there. I'm Dwayne Wade. I throw it over my head. I just know that you're flying in already, catching the oop. I'm not even looking. I'm just putting my arms out knowing he's about to dunk this.
Shake and bake, baby. Footprints,
I trust
baby.
You. That's footprints. How this works. Before we get to Blitz of Preview, real quick, Sam in San Antonio. Hey, Sam.
What's going on, gentlemen? Good morning to you guys.
Good to hear from you.
Likewise, man. And you know what, Alan? You switched schedules. So for this entire time between the last time you and I spoke, I was going to kind of like go at you and rip you. But you know what? The pairing of you and Bart is justified, man. You guys are great together. Bart, I've never had the opportunity to speak with you before. You're fantastic. So I'm glad you came over to ESPN. I would like to play the game. But before I play the game, I just wanted to make one point based on what you said a couple of days ago, Bart, about the whole Geek Squad thing. Yeah. I'm in 100% agreement with you because Michael Kay the other day, he brought up great points. He's talking about the reality of where baseball is going, and that's what it is. But to me, the analytics, yes, it should be a tool, but if it ends up being your end-all be-all, you're not going to win. The Yankees, I think, are the perfect example of that. That lineup is just not built for the playoffs. It is for the regular season, and I think now the numbers show that. And what I really would love to see is Bart, I want to see you or hear you and Don go at like a rant off together because both of you guys' rants are legendary. So I would love to see that.
he's a godfather of the rants. I don't know how many days it's been since the last rant, but are you ready for this game?
I am ready for the
all
game.
Right. You know how it's played.
I do.
Name and where you're from, and then we'll go from there. All right, go.
Hi, how you guys doing? This is Sam, and I'm in San Antonio right now.
There it goes!
And I'm going to switch it up a curveball here. So I'd like to see you go. They're already gone. Alan, the Wilpons, see you later.
See ya.
And the other one that I would like to see go at
bonus,
that point,
a bonus.
Evan Ingram.
Goodbye, sir.
Evan Ingram. Wow.
I'm just thinking
he's going
at this point. He was a high pick.
Two for one.
Yeah, see, Alan, right, you know what, man? Right. I'm a big fan of you. You know I always come correct.
Yes.
Now you got this other superstar with there with you, so I have to bring my best, man.
I like
and
it.
You know what? You played Black Sheep. You got to go out the show with some Q-tip now, man. You got to do it.
That's easy enough. Come on now. You don't have to ask me.
So hold on. You got to explain your work.
Yeah,
you want
so
Evan
why,
Ingram going
We know
why.
About Wilpon, but why Evan Ingram?
Why Evan Ingram? All right, so he was a high-end first-round pick. When he's not hurt, he's ineffective. I mean, how many? He was supposed to be like this.
Like he had a pretty
hybrid
good game
tight end.
In Dallas. Didn't he have a pretty good game in Dallas? Though they took
no.
Back.
He had that one play that was called back. So yeah, it was a trick play. But I'm not giving him props for that. How many times did he go up for a catch that he was supposed to be a contended catch, and he's a tight end, and he doesn't make it? I mean, there's more examples of him being a letdown than there is than tipping your hat to him.
So you're ready
at this point.
So you're ready to move on from him because listen, he is nothing but potential. We've been talking about him having this outbreak season, and he hasn't had that outbreak season.
4 or 5 years
yet.
Now, Bart.
Yeah, and
now, when was he drafted?
A potential word.
Yeah, and now you're at the point where you have to make a decision if you're going to pay him. And you look at what the other tight ends are doing in this league, man. Hell, you look at Jared Damn Cook at 175 years old. He played with Moses, and now. You looking up? He's still making plays. He's making plays down the field on Monday Night Football for Drew
Darren
Brees.
Darren Fells running 4 miles an hour has a bigger play than Evan Ingram has so far. So come on, yeah, you're right. I'm done with him. See ya.
All right, Sam. Appreciate you, man. Always good to hear from you. Thank you, man. I'll tell you what he said about you and I, can you imagine how good we'll be when we're actually in the same damn studio?
I know, man.
We had 1 month together, and we've been doing this remotely ever since. Like it's like long distance.
Yeah, it's like a long distance relationship. Like I'll be falling asleep on the phone when you're talking to your boo back in the 90s and 80s, man. You hang
definitely
up.
Happened.
You hang up.
You want pancakes?
No, then you fall. Then all you hear is
beep.
Oh man! All right, quickly before we get the Blitzer preview, I wanted to play this Brian Cashman. This sound from Brian Cashman. This is him yesterday talking to reporters. Him basically, and Anthony, you know the one I'm talking about. Him basically digging in about the I said, "Oh, rethink everything. Change something you're doing. You're not. Whatever's not working, you should change it." Brian Cashman. Here he is. He's digging in on the plan.
When you lose, you know, obviously then a lot of things happen. You know, you get dissected finger points and stuff like that. But all I know is we tried to put Jay Happ in the best position he possibly could be in to find a way to navigate that, what I call that Swiss Army knife lineup, so that Kevin Cash would take some right-handers out of that lineup. So when Happ came in, he had better lanes to try to navigate. Didn't work. Yep, no. Yeah, it didn't work. But it's something that we have deployed in the past. We'll continue to deploy, and it's not something that we haven't been deploying alone. You know, it's been happening in this current postseason by other clubs as well. And it's been happening as early as the past. And I think last year, Jay pitched out of the bullpen three times for us in the postseason. So
look at this.
I thought that this was a sound strategy that ultimately by performance just didn't work out.
Now, there's that. And then there's something that he said about the Rays, that if you're a Yankees fan, this one also raises your ire. Take a listen to this.
I think we had a championship caliber team, but that's the level of, I guess, praise I can put on it for us all, is that we obviously earned a postseason right and got past Cleveland and ran into a five-game set that took us out. And I just feel like in the end, when the dust settles, they're a better franchise right now than we are.
Wow. They're a better franchise than we are. Right now,
but that's ownership. Sometimes like it's how you say things, right? And the fact that he said that they're better franchising us hurts, and it should sting a little bit, and it should light a fire underneath, everybody within that building. But even if somebody like myself, who not a baseball expert, says, "Hey, you guys went the same distance as the Marlins," that hurts even more.
See, all right, now we got to get out of the Yankee topic.
That hurts more. You guys went
definitely,
this far.
That you just doubled me over on that one. So as I recover from this, and we'll get the calls again, 800-919-3776, we've got a couple of topics in the world of sports to talk about, and that we'll do in Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, Bart, we begin with Alabama football. Nick Saban testing positive for COVID-19. Oof. He's self-isolating, yet still watching practice via Zoom. This is a big weekend. The Crimson Tide, they're ranked number two. They play Georgia, number three, this weekend.
Yeah.
Saban, who's 68 years old, said he's feeling fine. It surprised him, actually, as well. And so now he's in his little bubble and he's watching
Normandy
practice and calling coaches on the sideline when he sees something wrong and wants a play repeated. Can you imagine being the manager having to take that call? Give me Sarkisian. So Steve Sarkisian's right now filling in. He's been a head coach before, as you know, but he's filling in. But Saban stopped short of saying he's actually, the final say guy. So here's the thing. Blitz or Prevent. NCAA rules forbid a coach from calling the press box or sideline during a game. So how does Saban find a way to coach this very important game on Saturday in Tuscaloosa? I say they make a room in the press box for him and quarantine him there until the game. This is where you're staying, coach.
All they need is a mini fridge. Yeah, he got the Dr. Pepper commercials. He's already good, man. He got all the Dr. Pepper
sandwiches.
And what they do is they take a piece of the press box. They take a piece of the press box and they seal it off from the rest of the press box. And that's where he goes. And he can call the plays and be the coach from there. And it's just like playing video games. That's what 100%. He's been doing anyway. And he's talking about running again. Like, come on, man. Like, everybody got next tails. Chirp, chirp, man. Chirp, chirp. I know you hear me chirping. Chirp, chirp. So if I can't call you walkie-talkie, I know you hear me. If you don't pick this damn phone up, you're fired.
That would be amazing if all you hear is chirp, chirping, but he's picking up. All right, next topic. Everybody's interested in this one. Le'Veon Bell officially became a free agent at 4 o'clock yesterday. So far, no team has signed him. However, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler tweeted earlier that Le'Veon Bell currently plans to sign with one of three teams. This is according to a source, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, or the Bills.
Yep.
And barring any changes, he'll decide among these teams as early as today. Unlikely, of course, that he'll return to Pittsburgh, which some people suggested. Now, Sean McDermott confirmed the Bills' interest in Le'Veon Bell, and he doesn't often do that. He said, "We always look into every situation, this being one of them, trying to improve our football team. That's all I can say right now." So, Blitz or Prevent, what do these teams have in common? Oh, right. They're each the next three opponents for the Jets.
Oh, so,
what is the best fit for Le'Veon Bell?
I mean, well, I mean, easily you can say the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
But,
oh
you, know, you know, they have Clyde Edwards-Helaire there. They make them dangerous because he's Clyde Edwards-Helaire supersized, right? Because he's a bigger, taller version, and he may be a better natural receiver in a slot. Could you imagine going to empty? And it's pretty much like you have five wide receivers out there because you can put him in a slot and he can barbecue chicken.
Just give Mahomes another weapon.
Yeah, and remember how great he was checking out. And then you talk about his ability to pick up blitzes and provide, you know, a blind spot for Mahomes to be able to have more time in the pocket, man. I think I would go there, but the Buffalo Bills isn't bad as well because it's going to give him an opportunity. It'd give him an opportunity to get more carries than he would get, I think, in Kansas City.
I'll tell you what. I'd go to the Chiefs because I want to win a ring.
Yep.
That's basically what you want. So that's what I would do if I was him. All right, last but not least, we got Damian Woody, by the way, coming up at noon. So the NBA draft's less than a month away, and I'm telling you, most teams in the top five aren't really excited about this. I know people are mad. Oh, there's good talent. Shut up. The guys at the top of this draft are telling me that there's nothing really here. And so we're already seeing reports of the Timberwolves, who have the top pick, and the Warriors, who have the second pick. They're already listening to offers to exchange a player for a player who can help them win now. No one wants to take a risk on this draft. It's precarious, uninspiring talent that might be good enough to get you fired. All right, that's a truth. There is one player, though, who's getting a lot of pub, and I've talked about him a lot, LaMelo Ball. He comes off a bit of aloof in some of these interviews he's been doing lately, but he has a skill set that suggests potential stardom. And he spent the last 2 years, you remember, playing professional basketball overseas against grown men. I think that's a big deal. Ball was a guest on Jalen and Jacoby this week, and he revealed that only two teams so far have interviewed him. Take a listen.
I think it was just two teams, just Knicks and Warriors, and that was just like a little Zoom call.
Do you think the Warriors are interested in drafting you?
I mean, hopefully everybody is. I mean, to be honest, I'm really just ready to go out and play. The whole little draft process, I'm too much with it.
All right, so you see him there. He's like not really thrilled about anything, but that's his personality. So we already heard that his dad would love him in New York, wants him to be with the Knicks. So I'll ask you this. And the Warriors, I've told you, want to trade. They want to keep trying to get titles right now, not having young guys on their roster. Right. The Knicks pick eighth, however, and no one expects Ball to last that long. So with that in mind, Blitzer Previn, should the Knicks look to move up in this draft where everybody's looking to move down and take Ball because no one else seems to want to?
No, I would listen, if they're going to keep moving out and moving out, bad teams are going to give up more assets. You've acquired all these draft picks for a reason. Now, we know you're not going to use all these draft picks, but a great player at eight, we said that may be a blessing in disguise for them because they may fall to a player that's not going to have high expectations at eight. He's not going to be bothered by the media because they moved up to get him, and he's going to be able to settle into his career and not have the pressure that Knox, Neal Akina, and Porzingis had, and this is going to allow them to be able to try and get some dubs.
He seems like a guy that New York wouldn't be too much for him because he owns a team.
He grew up with his dad. He's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, we haven't seen his father, but he'll be right there next to Spike. Like, we back Spike. Don't worry about it.
We'll see.
I can coach the team myself, Spike.
Let's grab a couple of calls here, Bart. 800-919-3776. We did promise that today would be a full buffet, and we continue to keep that promise. So we go to Anthony in Long Island. Anthony.
What's going on? How you doing, guys?
All right, man.
It's awesome to be on the show. First time calling.
Don't make it your last time, though.
Listen, the more the Jets are bad, the more I listen to the show, actually. I want to hear what you guys have to say. But, Bart, we got, 10 years it's been?
Since we were in the Yankees. Without the championship.
Have we drafted a defensive end since Muhammad Wilkerson that's been any good at getting to the quarterback?
Nah, Sheldon Richardson was that truth, but they moved this position, and then he was playing out of position. He's a D tackle. They made him outside linebacker because they kept drafting the same damn position. We always make fun of Matt Millen, what he did with the Lions, with taking a number one receiver 3 years in a row, and none of them was in the league in the next five years. Well, the Jets did the same thing. Rather, you want to go with Quentin Copels, you want to go with Sheldon Richardson, you want to go with Muhammad Wilkerson, and you want to go with Leonard Williams, and now Quentin winning Williams. Like, it's like they keep getting this position, but they failed to address the outside pass rusher, and they kept stacking the same position on top of each other. And you can get the most talented player, but if they don't complement each other, then it doesn't matter. They have to get a good interior guy. That's why I think it's imperative that if they're able to fleece Jacksonville for their two first-round draft picks so they can get Trevor Lawrence, you have to go out and get the kid from Penn State. Then you take your free agency money, you go get Shaq Barrett, Jadeveon Clowney, so now Quinnen Williams can work because now he has two guys on the outside that you got to worry about chipping and doubling so that he can get these one-on-ones against these fat, sloppy, stiff guards like Will Hernandez with neck rolls on.
Oh, come on. I like Will Hernandez.
I do.
Let me tell you this about Quinnen Williams. Okay. Quinnen Williams, by the way, is rating very well
good.
This year. He's fifth in the league. Fifth in the league among defensive tackles in run stop win rate. And he's ninth. So he's a top 10 tackle in the league.
Yeah.
He's ninth in the pass rush win rate.
Right, because he should have had another sack, but it was a pass.
So he's winning his battles for the most part. He's winning his battles. So, you just don't have enough support around him.
So just imagine if you can have the Justin Smith, Alden Smith, or you can have the Solomon Thomas, Nick Bosa, where you can run these U games, and you forcing two bad athletes to go against your great pass rushers. The Jets have an opportunity to do that, but if they get the kid from Penn State, he's the young guy. He's your Bosa. Now you got to go out and get your D Ford. Listen, the 49ers showed us the way. You build from the inside out, but now you go out and you get Jadeveon Clowney, that veteran pass rusher, or you get Shaq Barrett, the veteran pass rusher, and now they can't slide the line either way, and then now guys in the inside can start to work. So you can have your Quinnen Williams in the middle
the
start to work.
Secondary. Yeah.
Right. And now the pressure's off.
Too, which
because
is not very good.
Because now you can double. Oh, wow. What a concept. You don't have to blitz. You can actually put two people on people, and then you won't leave nobody on the damn island, and you got Lamar Action Jackson, not the real Lamar Action Jackson. He's like the alternate universe Action Jackson. Right. The other Lamar Jackson. And he's fresh off practice squad, one-on-one with DeAndre Hopkins. In what universe does that work?
Well, it doesn't. Ever. Anywhere. It doesn't
but
work.
But we did it.
It happened, and it didn't work. Yeah. All right. You know, I mean, look.
And then we look at the kid. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? He's like,
you
man, that's DeAndre Hopkins.
Dude, you
My mama wouldn't pick me over DeAndre Hopkins.
By the way, a little breaking news out of the NBA.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Catch this one now. And I'm not surprised, but it's big news. So Woj reporting via sources, Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey is stepping down.
Woj bomb.
Oh, we knew that.
I wonder. Now, look, people are going to point to this saying it's still about the tweet, you know, that about Hong Kong that really, you know, caused a lot of issues for the NBA.
Well, we think that you think that that started the bad karma for us, and that's what led to everything.
My novel.
That happened
my novel.
In our world.
Don't give away my novel. I've got a novel I'm writing that's got all this stuff in it. But no, this is though. I think that they're looking for a coach. And there's probably a lot of coaches that don't love the fact that Daryl tears the roster up like every other year. He's constant. There's a thought, by the way, that they wanted to trade Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
He just got him. And now
he's
they're
Bill
like, this ain't working. Let's send him off. And, of course, it's like, oh, the Knicks would love to have him. But come on. Like
he's Bill O'Brien.
Like, I think they're reaching that point, right, where it's like, you know what? What's the constant? The Rockets have been on a treadmill. And what is the constant? So you wonder which way this is going. Now, Jonathan Fagan, who covers the Rockets in Houston for the Chronicle, he said that a source told him it's 100% Morey's decision. That this is not, he's not being forced out, that he's saying, I'm
like,
done.
Guys, I can't figure it out, guys.
There's no one more passionate about the game than him. No one. Like, you know, I have my issues with him because he overdoes the analytics stuff. And he also, to me, doesn't let a roster just sit and work. But no one loves the game more than him. I mean, he's got a passion for this stuff. So for him to step down, something bigger is going on here.
Yeah. I think he recognized, listen, I tried it. I just can't get us over the hump. Maybe it's time to have some fresh eyes looking at this thing. And I'll be here to support.
Or maybe
and
he realizes I've destroyed everything here. There's no resources left for me to make any more deals.
Yeah. I mean, if you trade Russell Westbrook, what are you getting for him and who are you bringing in? I love Gordon. I think
at
Gordon
31
can be
on that contract? You're not getting anything.
Yeah.
You're not getting anything. Nobody's giving you valuable.
Well, if the Knicks, well, maybe somebody just take that contract off of your hands, and you have to take Julius Randle back.
Well, that's what everybody's going to have to do is take Julius Randle back, no matter what it is. But here's the thing, though. If you have – so, you know, you're going to have whoever the GM's going to be, and they're going to name one pretty quickly – And then they have to still hire a coach. And Jeff Van Gundy's name came up prominently with that job.
He can be both. He can be like Stan was with Detroit.
Stan didn't like that. But that's real interesting. And if you're James Harden, how much longer do you stick with that plan? Who knows what's going to happen there in Houston?
Maybe
all of a sudden, that becomes now something to watch. Does Houston say, you know what? We've spent a ton of money on this. We're going to be over the tax again. And maybe they're reaching that point of like, are we ever going to win in the West? These guys are getting older. Or maybe we've got to hit the restart button. And now all of a sudden, you start making very difficult choices.
Do you become OKC and look to move? Well, he probably got no trade clause in James
Harden.
That
franchise makes a lot of money.
Yeah, but you can become OKC and just kind of reset and start over if you can get move those big pieces and be young again and start over. And listen, maybe you start with Van Gundy and let him be the general manager. He brings Mark Jackson in to be the head coach, and they work together.
Tillman Fertitta is the owner of the team, and he is taking a beating.
Yeah. They've had
the Woj's story says he's going to remain in an advisory role for a short period of time to help them through the coaching search and everything else. Rafael Stone is expected now to be promoted to GM. He was the executive vice president of basketball operations.
Yeah, he's got to be burnt out. He's so just burnt out, man.
Yeah, there's definitely something going on there because. Again, the league has lost a ton of money. The relationship with China has not really gone well since that tweet. Although China did at least televise on the CCTV those last two finals games, which they hadn't done anything. But Fertitta he's lost a lot of money in his own personal business because of the pandemic, like a lot of people have. But this is interesting. This is really interesting if you think about it. Is what happens now to the Rockets. And the Western Conference is something to keep an eye on, man.
Yeah,
Warriors are all in on winning another one before Steph and Clay call it a day. They are all in, and whoever they go after.
To me, they're the front runner. To me, they're the favorite in the West. I don't care what LeBron did. Listen,
They can't be until they get somebody that can defend Anthony Davis.
But who's going to defend those three shooters?
They have two shooters.
What are those two shooters? Yeah, I forgot.
They don't have KD anymore. Yeah,
that's right.
That's a big deal.
They got Wiggins, Slash.
Well, Wiggins is allergic to defense. That kid breaks out in a rash when you ask him to play D. Yeah. And everybody will give me the analytics about how he'll get steals and touches and all that stuff, and they'll even talk to me about that.
But could you see maybe potentially, like we talked about the other day, could you imagine maybe them taking Wiggins and taking that number one pick and sending it to Philly and taking Joel Embiid?
100%. We talked with Jay right, Will so, about it. You know who else brought that up? Rick Barry actually said they should do that.
You said
they should trade the pick for Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid's a perfect fit.
But no, and Wiggins.
Oh yeah. No, I don't think Wiggins.
So now you got Draymond at the small forward. I mean at the power forward.
Power forward where he belongs. You still need a wing that can shoot.
Right. Exactly.
You just need a spacer at the three, like a 3-and-D kind of player.
But the thing is, they can afford to go get somebody like that, a 3-and-D guy, maybe Iguodala comes back.
Not sure. He's kind of like at the end.
Yeah. Iggy. His ball spot's looking bad. He joined the LeBron. Like, so listen, I tell you what, that pandemic exposed a lot of people that had that number one guard on that was blending that ball spot into perfection, and then they grew it out. It was like couldn't get enough coverage.
Yeah.
He was one of them.
I don't think we're getting Woody today. We're a little late in the segment now, so we'll just keep going with the conversation and the calls. 800-919-3776. Bart, you know, another thing I wanted to try to bring up today, which I found interesting, was something that we've been wondering about ratings, right?
Mm-hmm.
The sports ratings of all the different
leagues during this time.
Yeah, and I'm here's a, so let's see. This was posted. Let me just find it. All right, so. Sports Business Daily. Stanley Cup Finals, down 61% in viewers from the previous year. NBA Finals, down 49% from the previous year. U.S. Open Tennis, down 45%. Kentucky Derby, down 43%. U.S. Open Golf, down 42%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll continue with it as I open it up, but... MLB Divisional Series was down 40%. That's with the Yankees in it,
but it's
and the Dodgers in it.
Yeah, but it's to be expected, right?
Because college football is down 30%.
But that's because everything's on. You're giving people a sports seizure.
Yeah.
And then we're in the midst of a damn presidential election. It's like it's impossible. Like, listen, I wish my remote had more last buttons on it. I need last, back. I need to go down like.
No, Fios gives you that. Fios gives you when you hit last. It gives you like the last five channels you watched, and you just skim. You can skim your way back and find whatever you were watching.
Yeah.
To move around that. Quickly, but you need three TVs now.
I need picture.
Oh, you know what would be great if you could split like your big screen?
Right.
It's like four screens in one.
You know they have those TVs when you go to shopping malls and it's like 12 TVs together and you can put one TV on each thing and then it's kind of like when you go to like a DirecTV has one where it's like watch channel and it has all these channels. Then whatever one you highlight, that's where the sound comes out.
Mm-hmm.
We need one of those because it's just too much going on, man. Like you got football, but then you got five football games on
you're forced to make a choice, right?
Yeah.
It's really it was when the Yankees were playing and there was the NBA Finals. What was I watching? I was watching the Yankees. I was checking in on the finals, but my main channel was watching the Yankees. That's because it's in New York, that's what mattered to me. But that didn't mean that's what mattered to the country.
Right.
I just find it interesting that all viewership was down.
Yeah,
like, what was up?
But if you add, but
you know what
you
was
add,
up? You laugh. You know what was up? I'll tell you what was up. Here, this is another.
Masked Singer.
No. I'm talking about sports wise.
Okay.
Okay, look. So here we go. I gave you some others. NBA Finals, 49%, right? I gave you that. The NBA playoffs overall, including the finals, down 37%. All right? College football regular season, I told you 30. MLB regular season, down 26%. NFL regular season, down 13%. NFL!
But that's a win, though.
You know what was up?
That's a win. What?
WNBA Finals, up 15%. How you doing?
See?
Sue Bird, baby. Syosset.
Exactly. She's the Zion of sport, of women basketball.
No, Zion's the Sue Bird.
That's true. I apologize.
Name me a more recognizable athlete.
I mean,
in her sport.
I mean, when you look at Russell Wilson wearing her jersey to Monday Night Football, then you know she's trizzled. She's crossed over.
So
she's that dude that player.
So Maris did their Maris poll. On this, and 1,500 adults nationally, that is across the country, they did this in September, and they just were asking, you know, for the different breakdowns of, you know, what you're watching and why. And I find that, I've just found it to be kind of fascinating when you look at it, that out of these people, and I know it's only 1,500 people, 1,560 people that they talk to, but still, they're asked to describe the viewing impact, like, let's see, 19% of sports fans attribute changes in the current rules and game experience to their decreased interest in watching broadcasts of live sporting events. 19% also report their amount of free time that they had was also a cause in the decline in watching. Okay? I find that interesting. Also, you compare this Maris poll to one done in March of 2017. So here's a decline of Americans who consider themselves fans of specific professional sports leagues. Self-described NFL fans fell from 67% to 52%. So 67%, right, of a drop. The proportion of baseball fans fell from 51% in 2017 to 37% now. And basketball fans fell 7 points from 44 to 37. NASCAR, 22 to 16. Now, people are going to say, well, it's because of all the social messages and, you know, all that stuff. There's people that are going to tell you that. Well, I'm not watching anymore because they kneel and they wear these messages and I'm offended. So how about this?
We saw that with Kaepernick.
But listen. All right, so 70% of Republicans say they are less likely to watch live sports for this reason. Meanwhile, 61% of Democrats and a bunch of independents, 47%, say athletes speaking out has not changed their viewing habits, while 3 in 10 say this is the reason for tuning in more often. 27% of black sports fans say they are watching live sports broadcasts more as a result, and significantly more than white sports fans, 17%. So there is some impact on it. There is. But it just feels like there's just less consumption of live sports for what you said. They all happened at the same time. You have to choose something. But it also feels like people just don't have the time anymore to invest
Because they were sports. They were coming on at 7 o'clock. Like, you don't even know what time the game coming on. You're like, all right, well, so we got two Monday night games today. We got two. Okay, no, it's not two. It's one on ESPN and it's one on NBC. Okay, like, what the hell do I – what? I don't – my head.
Isn't baseball on TBS kind of throw you off, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like TBS. Where am I going? TBS? Aren't they showing, like,
that's,
you know,
March Madness.
Third
like,
Rock
March
from
Madness?
The Sun right now? Like, what are they showing right now?
And that's what happens, man.
I think it's that. I do think it's the fact that it's not as accessible, but I also feel it has to also – there has to be an impact that people are watching on iPads. People aren't watching it live. They're watching it back.
Yeah.
But I wonder that. Again, 800-919-3776. I just wonder, are you just consuming live sports less sitting in a on your couch watching it on TV? Are you not doing it that way? Or are you literally just, you know what, I don't want to watch. I'll watch highlights later. I don't have the time to invest in 2 hours. And all the New York teams suck. They're not involved, so I'm not watching any of that stuff.
And people are watching stuff I see people watching it outside because they're just so happy to get outside and be able to eat outside. And they're watching them at these bars, and the TV's on at these bars.
Could be. Yeah, it's something. Hey, let's take John in Westchester on this. Go ahead, John.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
I have a more basic thing, and I think either consciously or subconsciously, the world has changed. I think people are as concerned about staying alive, staying employed, getting re-employed, and I think that weighs heavily on a lot of your viewing decisions because streaming is way up, but it's not sports. I think sports has fallen into the category of it's entertainment, but it involves effort on your behalf to root to do, and man, just living nowadays takes a lot of energy out of you. I have to believe that in some way, shape, or form, this stuff weighs heavily on all of us, and it distracts us.
Yeah, thank you, John. Yeah, I think that's a good input. I think that's good input. I do feel that there's so much else happening in our lives these days, but I also feel like, Bart, and you're the athlete in this, as a regular person, I can't devote this much time to you.
Right.
I just can't.
That's on a weekday. I can't.
Especially
I can't
if your team stinks. Like, Anthony's going to clean his grill rather than watch the Giants this weekend. And he's a diehard Giants fan. He'd rather clean his grill, which is the worst thing to do.
Not a scar.
Because, you know, like, if I'm going to devote 3 hours to watch my team lose, I got better stuff to do with my life right now.
That has nothing to do with the pandemic, though, and everything to do with the fact that I have no confidence the Giants will win that football game.
That's my point. If your team stinks, you're not watching it. Like, that's the whole idea. And I just feel like I do think, and one of the things in the poll was about how the rules changes to the game. I do think analytics has a lot. We talked about this with baseball. I really feel like the way the games are played today, where the rules have changed it so dramatically. I mean, the NBA is just all threes. You just don't see ball movement. You don't see, like, the same thing. You'll see some compelling games. You'll see Luka play well. You see a lot of individual stuff. But the team stuff is gone. Physicality and drama, a lot of it is gone. Some of it is so manufactured. Injuries are all over the place. Like, there's just, I think it's a lot harder to stay engaged. And I do think, unlike the 80s, when, you know, TV ratings went through the roof and sports really made their money.
There's only two games on.
Well, you had that. Well, no, cable came in, and now you had games all over the place. But I do feel like 80s and 90s, you didn't have as much accessible to you when you were home after work. Now you have the internet. Now you have your computer. You have your tablet. You have so much else that can distract you from watching a game, which you can tell yourself, I'll catch the highlights later. I won't miss anything. And if it's a big game, then I'll check in. But otherwise, I can't every single day devote myself to my team. All right, before we get to audio files, though, as we mentioned, every sport has seen a massive decline in viewership this year compared to last year. Everybody's finals, NHL, NBA finals, NFL regular season, everybody's seeing a drop. So we just discussed it a little bit in the previous segment, and we got people reacting to it both on social media and on calls. Let's grab a couple before we get to audio files. We'll go Frank in Long Island. Go ahead, Frank.
Morning, good afternoon, Bar and Han. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good.
Yeah, what I was thinking with the viewership, maybe also what could attribute to that was the beginning of the pandemic. No sports on for, three, four straight months. People had to figure out what to do with themselves. And maybe, you know, to attribute that, they had to, you know, family things, doing things on their own, picking up more hours with jobs, if people still had to do that. But even with the pandemic and no jobs, people were taking their time with family, doing things more outdoors. You definitely noticed that people spent a lot more time outdoors. And I still see that a lot.
So yeah, I'll say this too, though. You know what, Frank? I'll say this is there's a reason why, you know, they call the July and August months the dog day months when in the sports schedule. There's only baseball, preseason NFL, just because people are doing stuff in the summer. You're not really consuming television because it's light out till 9 o'clock. Like, I got stuff to do. Yeah. I want to be out. Right. I don't really want to be in front of my TV. Winter months is when people are home. It's darker early and you spend more time watching, which is why the winter sports tend to do well. The NFL does very well on Sundays because later in the year, those Sundays, you know, September Sundays are beautiful out. You don't want to be in the house at 1 o'clock. But once you get to November and December, too damn cold to be out there. I'll be in the house. So, you know, I do think the time of year does have something to do with it, but it is something people are going to ask, is are we consuming the sports differently than we used to before? Thanks, Frank, for the call.
It was just too many. And what happens, we feel guilty as parents because a lot of people have kids that are virtually learning. So as soon as they finish, you feel the obligation to get them out the house.
Let's go do something,
Because they don't have gym. They don't have things. So if your kid's been sitting in the house 5 days all week, you know what I mean, because there's really no park to go to. So what you have to do is, you know, when a lot of these games are coming on, you're taking them to the zoo. You're taking them to the park. You're taking them out places to get out the house because they just haven't been out the house and you feel guilty as a parent.
Just get out in the backyard and do something, whatever it is. But I do think there's something to that. Yeah, we'll continue this conversation when we get back into the calls. But let's right now get to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, so there was a little bit of scare in Atlanta today. As at first it was reported there were like four positives and they were shutting down a facility. A lot of that story has changed, but still, anytime now you're seeing in the NFL the possibility of another team having to shut down and missing games and everything. You see the schedule has been reworked with the Jets now this weekend are playing the Dolphins. They weren't supposed to, but now they are. So Adam Schefter was on Get Up this morning, and Greeny was talking to him about how the NFL, you know, might have to consider expanding the season. This is what he said.
There has been suggestions and discussions about forming bubbles, which the NFL says it's not considering at this particular point in time. There's been discussions about adding a week 18, which would be an area that they could push back games that are missed in season. The league says that's a conversation for another date. They're not close to the idea, but it's not something that's garnering a lot of strong consideration at this particular moment. The league is adjusting and adapting on a as-needed basis. We've seen what it has done with teams that have had positive tests so far, how it's handled those particular games. And I think it's holding off some of the bigger things like a week 18 or a bubble until it's in a position where it's forced to do that, where it's the last resort. There's no other choice. Right now, that's not the case.
NFL resistance so far, Bart, but, you know, it is something to keep an eye on as they stay out of a bubble. And we talked about it yesterday. Dr. Alan Sill says he doesn't believe bubbles are that effective and they're not thinking about it right now. Or even just for postseason.
Like Dr. Sills has been spot on, you know, during the beginning and during this pandemic as far as the protocols and stuff in place. I thought they did a great job in setting a plan up. But he ain't lost his damn mind. We ain't watched three damn sports go through their playoffs with zero positives. Zero. Like, it's no way you can't say that. And we're watching baseball do it right now. So, I mean, I think if you want to make sure that you can keep the integrity of the game going and you want to make sure that it's a fair, no unfair competitive advantages and people have a array of their entire roster, you have to consider a bubble in a stadium that which you don't let fans in, or if you let fans in, they come in after the players are in and it's no cross contact. They have to consider that. You want to have fans and be able to have the atmosphere, but you still have to make sure that players are safe, because if you have an outbreak or anything happens, then it can mess up the integrity of the game and you don't have time to move playoff games because it messes up the seedings and things of that sort. So Dr. Sills, congratulations, you played yourself.
Oof.
Give him the gas face.
We'll see if they reconsider. All right. Joe Judge, who got his start under Nick Saban, of course, and we told you earlier, Nick Saban announced that he has tested positive for COVID, doesn't feel any symptoms, feels okay. We joked about how is he going to coach this weekend if they put him in some type of a quarantine up in the press box so he could call down to the field. But here's Joe Judge talking about Saban getting COVID.
He'll probably beat COVID. He's got a pretty good record about it against every other opponent, so I'm confident Coach will come through there. But, you know, look, we've got to be conscious on what's going on around the league, to be honest with you. You look at some other teams that are shut down. You're very conscious in terms of, you know, maybe teams you've had exposure to as opponents. I think you see some of the teams that have popped up after playing other teams with a case here, case there. The biggest thing we do here is on a daily basis, we just enforce the protocols. We stay on it. We harp it. Look, I'm not going to lie to you and act like it's some, you know, magic bubble we live in. Coaches and players all get tired of hearing, stay spaced out. Make sure your mask's on, you know, stay apart. Make sure your tracer's not blinking. All that stuff. It's day in, day out of saying the same things over and over.
Bart?
I mean, that's exactly what it is, right? You know, you it's no secret sauce, but all you can do, to all the indications, Saban has done everything that he was supposed to do, right? You know, Saban, you know, had an interview with someone who I forgot he was on our show, earlier talking about how he was there when he found out that Saban had COVID, that he you know, immediately was told to do contract tracing, that they did everything right. Listen, this is an invisible opponent that we can't see. And you can do everything right. The same thing that Anthony Lynn said. He did everything, had his hand sanitizer, didn't touch his face, you know, made sure that he had a mask on. He still got it. You know, so, like, listen, we know the protocol is, but this thing is evolving and changing as we go. Just think about all the new information we know about COVID that we didn't know at the beginning of this thing. So, like, you know, nothing is foolproof. All we can do is give ourselves a high percentage of not contracting COVID. Nothing's guaranteed, even if you do everything right.
Yeah, and what you obviously hope is whoever does contract it, like a guy like Saban at his age, is that he gets through it and he's okay. I mean, that's really what we're feeling right now. All right. Back to the Yankee conversation that we were having earlier on. Brian Cashman digging in, basically saying that they believe in their system and their format and the way they do things using analytics. Said it was the players who didn't execute. It wasn't the plan.
Ooh,
it was the players.
Pointing the finger.
He certainly did it about Jay Happ, no question. But the other concern about the Yankees that a lot of fans had is Aaron Boone. All right, so if he's, you know, if he's basically just being told what analytics to use and what things to do, then you have a manager who's basically a puppet. And Brian Cashman said this about that reaction.
I know there's that narrative that's been asked several times about, you know, the manager being a puppet and all that. None of that's true. I've never ordered a manager to do anything specifically. And, you know, Aaron would be able to testify to that, as well Joe Girardi and Joe Torre. They've never been directed at any time by me or our front office to do something that they didn't want to do. And simple as that, but I know I've said that before, and you know, people want to believe whatever they want to believe. So I just know we have a good, strong, healthy, sound process, and one that we're proud of.
And I'll tell you what, they did also say that the game two stuff, that it was Boone's final decision on what to do, that he was the one who had to sleep on it and decide, okay, this is the game plan, and they all had to agree to it. But anybody that knows Joe Girardi, the feeling is that he lost his job because he would go off to do his own thing too much.
Right. So maybe they gave Joe Girardi that same option, and he decided to do something different than what the organization wanted. And it wasn't like, okay, this is held against you. They held it against him. So maybe Boone understands, yeah, they're going to give me an opportunity to sleep on it. They're going to give me the information. But really, they're telling me, you know, this is kind of what we want you to do. Right. They can infer, hey, you know, you might want to think about this. You might want to think about it hard. So, and if that's the case, if Boone believes that he has to adhere to kind of what their suggestions are, especially when they're really, really, really convinced in something and believe in something, that if you go against it and it doesn't work out, then that's your ass, opposed to if you do what they say they suppose you, you know, want you to do and you agree, then no, it's no harm, no foul.
Yeah, and on this topic, a very interesting thing that happened last night after Houston stays alive. The Astros stay alive in their series with Tampa. They win 4-3. They hold on. Zach Greinke was the starter, and he was in a bit of trouble. Now, he went 6 innings, struck out 7, allowed 2 runs, but there was one point where things got a little dicey as Dusty Baker had his closer warming up. There was runners on first and second and one out in the 6th inning. And Arozarena, who, if you're a Yankees fan, you know that name and it's scary, was up to bat. He had a home run already earlier in the game. And so now this is that moment where a manager comes out and he's like, all right, the numbers tell me, Zach Greinke, you're done. And I've got to now go to the bullpen. But Dusty Baker decided to leave him in, and he explained why.
Usually don't change my mind, but I hadn't had my mind really, really made up until I got out there and I saw, you know, the look in Zach's eyes.
So the look.
He went with the gut. He went with the gut. I love when they go with the gut.
Now, that decision, by the way, worked out. Greinke struck out Arozarena, And then there was like an infield hit that I think loaded the bases. And then Brasso ended up striking out to end the inning. And they preserved that. And, of course, Greinke gets the win and they stay alive. But imagine that.
Live.
It says, do you think Aaron Boone is allowed to walk out to the mound and walk back saying, I looked in his eyes and I said, okay, I'll leave you in?
You
maybe
know
Gary Cole. Anyone else?
You know what? I don't know.
I don't know. I know my boy. You know what? I don't know. That's what I'm talking about. That's like that scene from Lionheart when he went out there and he looked in his eyes.
Yeah.
He was like, listen, man, it's okay, man. Listen, we're gonna let somebody else come in and get it done, man. I bet on him. I think he's going to get wrong bet. Don't you know that man gonna kill you, Lionheart? That man gonna kill you, Lionheart. Wrong bet. Attila's mine.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.